Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online for our agricultural programming at willag.org and on Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey. A note from the Cubs Den. One of the analysts you hear periodically here, Elaine Cubb, writes for DTN. And in her Cubs Den report today, she says a look at the 32 countries represented in the 2014 World Cup shows the Americas collective dominance in both grain production and soccer. That game between the United States and Germany, by the way, kicks off at an important time for agriculture at 11 a.m. Central Time today. 11 a.m. is when most USDA reports happen to come out, so that makes it important. The national average basis for corn unchanged at 20 cents under the July futures contract now, while the DTN National Corn Index down 2 cents at $4.21. The national average basis for soybeans down a penny at 28 cents over the August futures contract, and the soybean index up 3 cents at $13.90 a bushel.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey, with strategy planning for future generations to fit individual needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now here's Drew Lerner with an update of today's agricultural weather forecast.
Today's Midwest weather is mostly unchanged from that of yesterday. Perhaps a little bit drier for a little while next week, though. We'll see a surface high pressure system settle into the region. We are going to be starting a new weather pattern that's going to become all too familiar for most of us as we move forward through July and probably into the first half of August. This pattern is going to be some occasional deeper cool air masses that will form across portions of the Canadian prairies, reaching southward across the northern and eastern portions of the Midwest. And these will occur periodically, and they will be a little bit more significant relative to the cooler masses we've seen in the past. That doesn't mean we're going to have a cold summer. I'm just trying to say that there'll be a little bit more contrast in air masses from one period to another. We've got at least two of these that will occur during the month of July, and maybe a third one possible. And the trend model suggests we'll see the same thing occur again in the first half to middle part of August. So with this trend being what it is, it's likely to generate a good mix of weather across much of the Midwest. But again, the southwestern part of the Corn Belt may have the lowest potential for rainfall as often as relative to the rest of the Midwest. But we're going to still see everybody ending up with a relatively favorable mix of weather. The temperatures over this next several day period are going to be warm across the Midwest, seasonably warm. Over this period through the weekend, we'll look for temperatures running in the 80s mostly across the Midwest. There'll be a few 70-degree readings in the far north, and there may be a few lower 90s in the southernmost parts of the region. As we move into next week, though, there will be a cold front that will cut through the region. You'll notice that cold front already pushing through part of the area as we go through the weekend. And that cool air mass is likely to generate some scattered showers and thunderstorms across a part of the region. The precipitation will be most significant in a band that will initially occur across parts of Iowa and neighboring areas of Illinois and Wisconsin, eventually moving into parts of Michigan. And after the heavier rains occur, there'll be lighter rainfall that will push the cooler air into the region, and that will take place as we finish out the weekend and move into the early part of next week. This scenario is going to likely lead to some heavier rainfall in the southeastern corner of the country, more so than I think the computer forecast models have suggested today. We'll watch for that. Should be a lot of repetitive rain and thunderstorms occurring in the southeastern corner of the country, and for the most part, that is likely to translate into some much wetter soil conditions in time. In the meantime, though, over these next 5 days or so, we're likely to see a continuation of mostly light amounts of precipitation and warm temperatures across the southeast and the Delta, as well as the Midwest. We will look for a potential for some notable cooling to take place, though, as we move through a part of next week. We'll look for those temperatures to cool back down into some 70s across the northern parts of the Midwest, and we'll still have some 80s occurring in the south. But I think that in future computer forecast model runs, we'll see those temperatures in the south a little bit cooler than what's being advertised today. Low temperatures at night may slip back into some upper 40 and 50 degree readings in the northernmost parts of the Midwest during our coolest period next week, and otherwise we'll see 50 and 60 degree readings, pretty common. It'd probably be a few lower 70s as well before the first round of cooling starts to impact the Midwest. The bottom line, though, is still quite favorable for most of the Midwestern crop areas. I see no reason for concern about dryness or excessive moisture or extreme heat or really significantly colder than normal conditions. It should be typical summertime weather that should translate into good crop development. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
A quick look at the numbers in Chicago as they're trading at this hour from the CME Group shows the corn futures up about a penny and a quarter for the day. Nearby July soybeans up 12 and three quarters. November they're up 6 cents. Soft red winter wheat just about a half cent lower. Bean meal is up 390. Bean oil down 2 cents. The live cattle futures up 80 to 90 cents. Feeder cattle up buck 90 to a buck 70. And lean hogs are about 12 and a half cents higher in the nearby July and the August down 12 and a half cents at this time.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now on this Thursday morning to take a look at the morning numbers as they're trading at the CME Group is Chip Nellinger. He's at Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois. Ellen Dearden is out of the office today. Thanks for filling in, Chip. We do appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. Good morning, Todd.
No, good morning to you. We always talk about some of the export numbers, and they look pretty good this morning.
Well, the beans especially. You know, we continue to sell more old crop beans than we need to, and, you know, tight stocks already. And unfortunately, that's really what it boils down to coming up this Monday morning. What is that stock number going to be for beans? And that's going to, I think, give us a lot of direction for whether we've ultimately seen the highs in old crop beans or have further work to do on the upside. But certainly demand is still pretty good from an old crop bean perspective.
Can you lay out a case in both directions for the fundamentals to change or not?
Yeah, you really can. You know, you have a lot of variance of opinions on these reports, both the stocks and probably more importantly the acreage, and that's really what it could boil down to. You know, obviously stocks are tight on old crop. We know that. That's an old story. But if we'd happen to see acreage on the high side of expectations or higher than expectations, that could put a little cold water on the bean complex with the theory that, yes, we're going to have enough to get through. And not only that, but we have a big crop coming with more acres than expected. So big wild card on Monday morning. We could see some huge volatility depending on what way those reports come out.
Now, either way you slice it, this year's acreage compared to last year's for soybeans is going to be pretty big anyway, right?
Yeah, still looking at record large, but there's a lot of discrepancy, and it goes back to a year ago, all the prevent plant acres, and the trade really has some questions as to whether we really got the solution to all those prevent plant acres last year. So that issue, it really flows over into this year as well, and that leads to that discrepancy in opinions on just how large acreage was. But we're already looking at record large bean plantings, but there's some out there that think that could be another 1.5 to 2 million acres added on to that, and that may be more than the bean market could handle if we see that Monday.
As time marches forward, we have learned more about the water and the floods that are in the northwestern parts of Iowa, the south central parts of Minnesota. There seems to be a lot of water there, a lot of acreage maybe that has been underground. How much of an impact do we think that'll have? It won't show up in the Monday reports, I know, but how much impact is it having? Will the trade begin to take that into account?
Well, I think it will, and that's why each Monday afternoon those crop condition reports are going to be pretty critical. And we've already seen those tick down a little bit, especially in those northern areas. So some of that's reflected, but, you know, as bad as that is up there, if you're in the middle of that and have acres flooded, other areas of the Corn Belt, especially here, you know, central Illinois, the crop just looks tremendous and actually getting better on a daily basis. So, you know, some of the losses up there will be made up by you know, the strong crop we have growing in the field here in other areas. So that's just kind of the juggling act the market's going to continue to watch on those planting condition reports every Monday afternoon.
And finally today, for the rest of the trade in the soybean market, nearby contract up 12 cents. I take it that was on the export figure. Can it be maintained?
You know, really light volume. I think this volume is really going to hold us back a little bit. So, you know, I would expect that, you know, we still hold gains. But as to a strong day, I think that's going to have to wait until we get these reports out of the way next Monday.
Thanks so much, Chip.
Thanks, Todd.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. You're listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. It's the top of the hour coming up on 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. Here are the numbers as they're trading in Chicago. July corn is up a penny and a quarter at $4.42 and a quarter. September at $4.37, a penny and a quarter higher. December at $4.41 and a half, up 1 1/2. And March of next year at $4.52 and a quarter, up a penny and a half. July soybeans for the day at $14.27 and a half, up 11 3/4. August at $13.72, 10 and a quarter higher. November at $12.34 and a half, up 5 1/2. And January beans up a nickel at $12.40 and a half. Bean meal up $3.60. Bean oil down 3 cents. August live cattle at $151.52 and a half, 87 1/2 cents higher. August feeders at $214.10. That's up $1.97 and a half. And the lean hogs at $129.65 are 45 cents higher. July hard red winter wheat at $7.13 and a half, down a half. And July soft red at $5.74 and a quarter, and the lead option July down a penny and a quarter. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.